Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Chapter 1, Part 6, Energy Balance. Narrative Study Guide. EE 445/645, Physical Models in Remote Sensing. Spring 2026. Professor Rongda B. Minini, Boston University. Introduction. Welcome to this detailed exploration of energy balance in radiative transfer. This narration walks through each slide of the presentation, providing mathematical derivations, physical interpretations, and applications across multiple disciplines including remote sensing, atmospheric science, oceanography, and climate science. The material is organized slide by slide, following the presentation structure while expanding on key concepts with additional context and real-world applications. Each slide builds upon previous concepts, leading to the fundamental energy conservation law for radiation. Slide 1, Title and Outline. Slide Content. Title, Physical Models in Remote Sensing, Chapter 01, Part 06, Energy Balance. Outline Topics. Problem Specification. Integration over the domain and solid angles. Integration over solid angles, RHS terms. Integration over solid angles, LHS terms. Integration over spatial domain V. Divergence theorem, Gauss theorem. Integration over spatial domain V, RHS and LHS terms. The doubly integrated result. Final energy balance statement. Narration. This opening slide introduces the topic of energy balance in radiative transfer, which is fundamental to understanding how electromagnetic radiation propagates through various media encountered in remote sensing applications. The outline provides a roadmap for the mathematical journey we're about to undertake. The energy balance equation we will derive is central to many remote sensing applications. It describes how radiation energy is conserved as it propagates through the atmosphere, vegetation canopies, ocean water, snow and ice, and other media. This conservation law connects the sources of radiation, such as solar input and thermal emission, with the sinks of radiation, absorption and scattering, and the net flux of radiation leaving or entering a volume. The derivation involves two major integration steps. First, we integrate the radiative transfer equation over all solid angles, converting directional quantities into flux vectors. Second, we integrate over a spatial volume, applying the divergence theorem to transform volume integrals into surface integrals. The result is a global energy conservation statement that has profound implications for remote sensing and radiation physics. Slide 2, Problem Specification. Slide Content. This slide references the animation file, 01 Energy Balance. Narration. The Problem Specification slide introduces an animation that visually demonstrates the energy balance concept. While we cannot see the animation in this narration, we can describe what it conceptually represents. The animation likely shows a three-dimensional volume in space through which radiation propagates. Within this volume, several processes occur simultaneously. Radiation streams through the volume along various directions. Some radiation is absorbed and converted to heat. Some radiation is scattered into different directions. And some radiation is emitted by sources within the volume. At the boundaries of the volume, radiation enters and exits. The fundamental question the energy balance addresses is this: if we account for all the radiation generated within the volume and all the radiation entering from outside, where does that energy go? The answer, as we'll prove mathematically, is that it must either be absorbed within the volume or escape through the boundaries. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can only be transformed or transferred. In remote sensing applications, Imagine the volume V as a portion of Earth's atmosphere, a forest canopy, or a water body. Solar radiation enters from above. Within the volume, molecules and particles absorb some radiation and scatter the rest. Thermal emission adds more radiation. Our sensors measure the radiation that escapes upward through the top boundary. The energy balance equation quantitatively relates all these processes. Slide 3. Integration over the domain and solid angles. Slide content. We integrate the radiative transfer equation, RTE, over a three-dimensional spatial domain V and over all solid angles on a sphere, for pi steradians. The starting equation is omega nabla I plus sigma, r omega I, r omega equals integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega omega I, r omega slash 4 pi plus q, r omega. Variable definitions. I, r omega radiation intensity at position are propagating in direction omega. Omega, unit direction vector, points in the direction of photon travel. Nabla, gradient operator with respect to position r, spatial derivative. Sigma, r omega total extinction coefficient, units, m superscript 1. Sigma, r omega omega differential scattering coefficient, units, m superscript 1 sr superscript 1, describing scattering from direction omega into direction omega. Sigma, our total scattering coefficient, units, m superscript 1, note that sigma equals integral 4 pi d omega sigma, omega omega. Q, our omega volumetric source term, emission. Integral 4 pi, integration over the full sphere, 4 pi steradians. Narration. This slide presents the radiative transfer equation, which is the foundation of our analysis. Understanding each term in this equation is crucial before we proceed with the integration. The radiation intensity 1, r omega, is the fundamental quantity we're working with. It tells us how much radiation is present at position or traveling in direction omega. In remote sensing, this is what our instruments ultimately measure, though often integrated over various angles or wavelengths. The direction vector omega is a unit vector with magnitude 1, pointing in the direction photons are traveling. It can be specified using two angles, similar to latitude and longitude on a globe, typically the zenith angle, angle from vertical, and azimuth angle, angle around the horizon. The gradient operator nabla represents spatial derivatives. When we compute omega nabla I, we're calculating how intensity changes along the direction of propagation. This is the streaming term. It describes how radiation flows through space. The extinction coefficient sigma, r omega, measures how much radiation is removed from the beam per unit distance traveled. This removal happens through two mechanisms, absorption, where photons are destroyed and their energy converted to heat, and scattering, where photons are redirected into different directions without losing energy. In atmospheric remote sensing, extinction is caused by air molecules, Rayleigh scattering, aerosol particles, Mie scattering, and absorbing gases like ozone and water vapor. In vegetation remote sensing, leaves, branches, and stems provide both absorption and scattering. In ocean remote sensing, water molecules, phytoplankton, and suspended sediments are the main sources of extinction. The differential scattering coefficient sigma, r omega omega, is more detailed than the extinction coefficient. It tells us specifically how photons traveling in direction omega get scattered into direction omega. This is important because scattering is generally not isotropic. Particles preferentially scatter light in certain directions. For example, Mie scattering by atmospheric aerosols is strongly forward-peaked, meaning most photons continue roughly in their original direction after scattering. The scattering integral on the right side of the equation accounts for the inscattering contribution, radiation that was traveling in other directions omega but gets scattered into direction omega. We integrate over all possible incident directions, 4 pi steradians, to capture contributions from every direction. The source term Q, R, omega, represents emission within the medium. Every object with temperature above absolute zero emits thermal radiation according to Planck's law. The emission depends on temperature and the emissivity of the material. In the thermal infrared wavelengths, emission is particularly important. This is how thermal remote sensing works. MODIS and Landsat thermal bands, for example, detect thermal emission from Earth's surface and atmosphere. The physical interpretation of the radiative transfer equation is a local energy balance. On the left side, we have losses, the streaming term, how much radiation flows away, and extinction, how much is removed. On the right side, we have gains, in scattering, radiation scattered into this direction from other directions, and emission, radiation generated by thermal sources. Our goal is to integrate this differential equation over space and angle to obtain a global energy balance. This will transform the local, differential description into an integral statement about total energy flows, which is more directly connected to measurable quantities and conservation laws. Slide 4, integration over solid angles, right-hand side. Slide content. We integrate both sides over all solid angles integral 4 pi d omega. Integral 4 pi d omega, omega nabla I plus sigma, r omega, I, r omega, equals integral 4 pi d omega, integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega omega, I, r omega, slash 4 pi plus q, r omega. Right-hand side, scattering integral. For the scattering term, integral 4 pi d omega, integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega omega, I, r omega. By conservation of scattering, the total scattering out of direction omega into all directions equals the total scattering coefficient sigma, r. Integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega omega, equals sigma, r omega. Applying this, integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega, I, r omega, equals in scattered flux. Right-hand side, source term. Integral 4 pi d omega q, r omega, equals emitted flux. Narration. Now we begin the integration process. Our first step is to integrate the radiative transfer equation over all solid angles. This means we're integrating over all possible directions on a sphere, which encompasses 4 pi steradians of solid angle. Let's start with the right-hand side of the equation, as these terms are somewhat simpler to handle. We have two terms, the scattering integral and the source term. For the scattering term, we need to integrate a double integral. The original radiative transfer equation already has an integral over omega, the incident direction, and now we're adding another integral over omega, the outgoing direction. This gives us a double integral over both directions. Here's where we use an important physical principle, conservation of scattering. When a photon traveling in direction omega is scattered, it must be scattered into some other direction. If we integrate the differential scattering coefficient over all possible outgoing directions omega, we get the total rate at which photons are scattered out of direction omega, regardless of where they end up. This total rate is exactly what we call the total scattering coefficient, sigma. The prime on the subscript distinguishes it from the differential scattering coefficient. While sigma, omega omega, tells us the rate of scattering from omega specifically into omega, the total coefficient sigma tells us the total rate of scattering from omega into all directions combined. When we perform this integration, the integral over omega collapses, and we're left with an integral only over omega, the integral of sigma, r omega, times I, r omega, over 4 pi steradians. We call this the unscattered flux. It represents the total rate at which radiation is being scattered from all incident directions, integrated over the entire sphere of directions. In physical terms, the unscattered flux tells us how much radiative energy per unit volume is being redirected by scattering processes, summed over all incident and outgoing directions. In the atmosphere, this includes all the Rayleigh scattering by air molecules and Nye scattering by aerosols. In vegetation, it includes scattering by leaves and branches. In the ocean, it includes scattering by water molecules and suspended particles. The source term is more straightforward. When we integrate Q, R, omega, over all solid angles, we get the total emission rate at position R, summed over all directions. We call this the emitted flux. This represents all the thermal radiation being generated at position R. For a blackbody at temperature T, Planck's law tells us the spectral intensity of emission in each direction. When we integrate over all directions, accounting for the directional dependence, which for a blackbody follows Lambert's cosine law, we get the Stefan-Boltzmann law, total emitted power proportional to T to the fourth power. In remote sensing applications, thermal emission is crucial in the infrared wavelengths. Land surface temperature retrievals, for example, are based on measuring the thermal emission in the 10 to 12 micrometer window where the atmosphere is relatively transparent. The emitted flux from the surface depends on both the surface temperature and emissivity. Slide 5. Integration over solid angles, left-hand side. Slide content. Left-hand side, first term, streaming term. Consider, integral 4 pi d omega, omega nabla I. The gradient nabla acts on spatial coordinates r, while integral 4 pi d omega integrates over the angular variable omega. Since they operate on different independent variables, they commute. Integral 4 pi d omega, omega nabla I, equals nabla integral 4 pi d omega, omega I. We define the radiation flux vector. F, R, equals integral 4 pi d omega omega I, R, omega. Thus, integral 4 pi d omega, omega nabla I, equals nabla F, R, equals flux net outflow. Left-hand side, second term, extinction. The extinction term integrates as integral 4 pi d omega sigma, R, omega, I, R, omega, equals extinction flux. Narration. Now we turn to the left-hand side of the radiative transfer equation, which contains the streaming term and the extinction term. The streaming term is the more sophisticated of the two, requiring a careful mathematical manipulation. When we integrate omega nabla I over all solid angles, we face an interesting mathematical question: how do we handle the integral of a directional derivative? The key insight is that the gradient operator nabla acts on the spatial variable r, while the integral over d omega acts on the angular variable omega. These are independent variables. Think of it this way: position r is where you are in space, x, y, z coordinates, while direction omega is which way you're looking, specified by two angles. Changing your position doesn't change your direction, and changing your direction doesn't change your position. They're independent degrees of freedom. Because these variables are independent, we can commute the gradient operator with the angular integral, just as we can change the order of partial derivatives when they act on different variables. This allows us to move the nabla outside the integral over omega. However, we also need to use the vector calculus identity that relates the dot product omega nabla I to the divergence. After commuting the integral and gradient, we get the divergence of the integral of omega times I. This integral defines a very important quantity, the radiation flux vector F, R. The radiation flux vector F is fundamental in radiative transfer and has deep physical significance. Let's understand what it represents. Each infinitesimal contribution to F is omega times I, or omega, times d omega. This is a vector pointing in direction omega with magnitude I d omega. When we integrate over all directions, we're summing up vectors from all possible directions. Vectors pointing in opposite directions tend to cancel out, while vectors pointing in similar directions add up. If radiation is isotropic, equally intense in all directions, the flux vector F would be zero because all the contributions would cancel. But if radiation is stronger in some directions than others, F points in the direction of net energy flow. For example, consider the radiation field at the ocean surface during the day. There's intense solar radiation coming from the direction of the sun, weaker diffuse skylight from all directions in the sky, and upward thermal emission from the water. When you compute F by integrating omega times I over all directions, the downward solar contribution dominates, so F points predominantly downward. The magnitude of F tells you the net downward energy flux. In remote sensing, F is directly related to irradiance, which is what we measure when we place a flat sensor in the radiation field. If the sensor has a surface with normal vector N, the irradiance on that surface is NF. This is why flux measurements are so important. They're what our instruments actually detect. Upward-looking sensors on the ground measure upward irradiance, N pointing up. Downward-looking sensors on satellites measure upward irradiance leaving Earth, N pointing down relative to the satellite. Radiometers on buoys measure both upward and downward irradiance to determine the net flux through the ocean surface. The divergence of F, written as nabla F, has a clear physical interpretation. The divergence measures how much the flux vector is spreading out or converging at each point. If nabla F is positive at some position R, it means more radiation is flowing out from that point than flowing in. There's a net divergence of flux. If nabla F is negative, more is flowing in than out. There's a net convergence. We call nabla F the flux net outflow because it quantifies the net rate at which radiative energy is leaving each point in space. In the atmosphere, locations where nabla F is positive are losing energy to radiation, while locations where nabla F is negative are gaining energy from radiation. This radiative heating or cooling is a major driver of atmospheric dynamics. The second term on the left-hand side is the extinction term. When we integrate sigma, r, omega, times I, r, omega, over all solid angles, we get what we call the extinction flux. This represents the total rate at which radiation is being removed from the radiation field at position r, summed over all directions. Remember that extinction includes both absorption and scattering. Absorption removes photons from the radiation field permanently, converting their energy to heat. Scattering removes photons from their current direction and redirects them into other directions. The extinction flux accounts for both processes. In remote sensing applications, extinction determines how much solar radiation makes it through the atmosphere to the surface, how much reflected light from the surface makes it back to the satellite, and how much thermal emission from the surface is absorbed by greenhouse gases before escaping to space. Atmospheric corrections in remote sensing are essentially accounting for the effects of extinction. Slide 6, Integration over Spatial Domain V. Slide Content. After angular integration. Combining all terms. Nabla F, R, plus integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega, I, r omega, equals integral 4 pi d omega sigma, r omega, I, r omega, plus integral 4 pi d omega q, r omega. Integrate over the spatial domain V. Now integrate over volume V. The volume element is d superscript 3r. Integral underscore V d superscript 3r, nabla F, r, plus integral 4 pi d omega sigma r omega I r omega equals integral underscore v d superscript 3 r integral 4 pi d omega sigma r omega I r omega plus integral 4 pi d omega q r omega. Narration. We've now completed the first major integration step, integrating over all solid angles. Let's take stock of where we are. Our angularly integrated equation now reads, the divergence of the flux vector plus the extinction flux equals the inscattered flux plus the emitted flux. This equation is still a local, differential equation. It describes the balance at each point r in space. But we want a global balance, an equation that describes the total energy flow in and out of a finite volume. To get there, we need to perform our second major integration, integration over the spatial domain V. The volume V is an arbitrary three-dimensional region in space. In remote sensing applications, V might represent various domains depending on what we're studying. For atmospheric problems, V could be the entire atmosphere above a certain land area, from the surface up to the top of the atmosphere. For ocean problems, V might be the euphotic zone, the upper layer of the ocean where sunlight penetrates and photosynthesis can occur. For vegetation problems, V might be a single tree crown, a forest stand, or an entire canopy layer. When we integrate over this volume, we use d superscript 3r as the volume element. In Cartesian coordinates, d superscript 3r equals dx dy dozen. In spherical coordinates, it's r squared sine theta dr d theta d phi. The choice of coordinate system depends on the symmetry of the problem, but the physical meaning is the same. We're summing contributions from every point inside V. We integrate every term in our angularly integrated equation over the volume V. Most of these integrals are straightforward. We simply integrate the already integrated quantities over space. But one term requires special treatment, the divergence of the flux vector, nabla f. This is where we'll need to apply one of the most powerful theorems in all of mathematics and physics, the divergence theorem. Before we apply that theorem, let's understand intuitively what we're doing. By integrating over V, we're transitioning from a point-wise description to a volume-averaged description. We're asking, what's the total extinction within V? What's the total emission within V? What's the total scattering within V? And most importantly, what's the net radiation flow through the boundary of V? These are global, integral quantities that connect more directly to conservation laws and to measurable fluxes. Slide 7, Divergence Theorem, Gauss Theorem. Slide content. The divergence theorem, Gauss's theorem, relates a volume integral of a divergence to a surface integral over the boundary. Integral underscore V d superscript 3r, nabla f, equals integral underscore del V de N F. Where? Nabla F equals del F underscore X slash del X plus del F underscore Y slash del Y plus del F underscore Z slash del Z is the divergence in Cartesian coordinates. V is the three-dimensional volume region. Del V is the closed surface boundary of V. De is a surface area element on del V. N is the outward-pointing unit normal vector perpendicular to the surface. NF is the component of F perpendicular to the surface, flux through surface. Physical meaning, the divergence nabla F measures net outward flow per unit volume. If nabla F greater than zero, there is a net source, flow emanating outward. If nabla F less than zero, there is a net sink, flow converging inward. The surface integral integral underscore del V de NF computes the total flux of F passing through the boundary surface del V in the outward direction. The dot product NF picks out only the component of F that is perpendicular to, normal to, the surface. The divergence theorem states that the total divergence, source/sink strength, within a volume equals the net flux leaving through its boundary. Narration. The divergence theorem, also known as Gauss's theorem, is one of the crown jewels of vector calculus and mathematical physics. It appears in electromagnetism, fluid dynamics, heat transfer, and countless other fields. Understanding this theorem is essential for anyone working in physics or engineering. The theorem makes a profound connection between what happens inside a volume and what happens at its boundary. On the left side, we have the volume integral of the divergence of a vector field F. This measures the total source strength or sink strength within the volume, how much F is spreading out or converging at each point, summed over all points. On the right side, we have the surface integral of NF over the boundary of V, denoted del V. This measures the total flux of F leaving through the boundary surface. The boundary del V is a closed surface that completely encloses the volume V. The unit normal vector N points outward from this surface, away from the interior of V. The dot product NF picks out the component of the flux vector that's perpendicular to the surface, pointing outward. If NF is positive at some point on the surface, the flux is leaving through that point. If negative, it's entering. When we integrate over the entire surface, we get the net outflow, total flux leaving minus total flux entering. The physical interpretation is beautifully intuitive. Imagine a volume of space filled with fluid flowing through it. The divergence nabla F at each point tells you whether fluid is being created there, positive divergence, like a source or spring, or destroyed there, negative divergence, like a sink or drain. When you sum up all these sources and sinks throughout the volume, you must get exactly the net amount of fluid flowing out through the boundaries. If there are more sources than sinks inside V, then more fluid must be flowing out than flowing in, a net outflow. If there are more sinks than sources, there's a net inflow. If sources and sinks exactly balance, the net flow through the boundary is zero, as much flows in as flows out. In our radiation problem, F is the radiation flux vector. The divergence nabla F tells us whether there's a net creation or destruction of radiative energy flux at each point. But remember, radiation energy can be created by emission and destroyed by absorption. So nabla F is related to the balance between emission and absorption. The boundary integral gives us the net radiation flux escaping from V. In remote sensing, this is often exactly what we measure. For example, if V is a column of atmosphere from the surface to the top of atmosphere, the integral over the top surface is the upward radiation flux that satellites measure. The integral over the bottom surface is the net surface radiation budget. Let me give you some concrete examples of the divergence theorem in action. In electromagnetism, it's called Gauss's law. The electric flux through a closed surface equals the charge enclosed divided by epsilon zero. In fluid dynamics, it's the continuity equation. The rate of mass accumulation in a volume equals the net mass flux into the volume. In heat transfer, it relates the heat generated in a volume to the heat flowing out through its boundaries. The divergence theorem is also crucial for converting differential equations into integral equations. Many physical laws are naturally expressed as differential equations. They describe what happens at each infinitesimal point. But measurements are often integrals. We measure total quantities over finite regions. The divergence theorem bridges these two descriptions. In our derivation, we're using the divergence theorem to convert the volume integral of nabla F into a surface integral of NF. This transforms the flux divergence term, which is a local, pointwise quantity, into a boundary flux term, which is a global, measurable quantity. This is a key step toward our energy balance equation. Slide 8, integration over spatial domain V, RHS and LHS terms. Slide content. LHS term 1. In our radiative transfer equation, the vector field is the radiation flux F, R. The quantity NF represents the radiation flux component leaving the volume V through the surface element D. Integrating over the entire boundary surface del V gives the total net radiation flux escaping the volume. Therefore, integral underscore VD superscript 3R, nabla F, equals integral underscore del V da, NF, equals net radiation flux leaving V. LHS term 2, total extinction. Integral underscore VD superscript 3R integral 4 pi d omega sigma, R omega, I, R omega, equals total extinction flux. RHS term 1, total inscattering. Integral underscore VD superscript 3R integral 4 pi d omega sigma, R omega, I, R omega, equals total inscattered flux. RHS term 2, total source. Integral underscore VD superscript 3R integral 4 pi d omega q, R omega, equals total source flux. Narration. Now we apply the divergence theorem to our specific problem and catalog all the integrated terms. This slide summarizes what each term becomes after the double integration, first over solid angles, then over spatial volume. The first term on the left-hand side, after applying the divergence theorem, becomes the integral over the boundary surface del V of NF D. This is the net radiation flux leaving V. It represents all the radiation that escapes through the boundaries of our volume. In practical remote sensing scenarios, this boundary flux is often what we directly measure. If V is an atmospheric column, the flux through the top boundary is what satellite radiometers detect, the upward radiation leaving the top of the atmosphere. The flux through the bottom boundary at the surface determines the surface radiation budget, which controls surface temperature and drives evaporation and heating. If V is a vegetation canopy, the flux through the top boundary is the radiation emerging from the canopy top, which includes reflected solar radiation and emitted thermal radiation. This is what airborne or satellite sensors measure when observing vegetation. The flux through the bottom boundary is the radiation reaching the soil beneath the canopy, which affects soil temperature and moisture. The second left-hand side term is the total extinction flux. This represents all the radiation that's removed from beams throughout the volume V, integrated over all positions and all directions. Remember that extinction includes both absorption and scattering, so this term accounts for both processes. On the right-hand side, we have two terms. The total inscattered flux represents all the radiation that's scattered into various directions from other directions, summed over the entire volume V. This includes all the Rayleigh scattering by air molecules, Mie scattering by aerosols, scattering by cloud droplets, scattering by leaves and branches in vegetation, and scattering by particles and organisms in ocean water. The total source flux represents all the radiation emitted within V, integrated over all positions and directions. This is primarily thermal emission, though it could also include fluorescence, chemiluminescence, or other emission mechanisms depending on the application. For remote sensing in the visible and near-infrared wavelengths, thermal emission is usually negligible compared to scattered sunlight. The sun is so bright that its reflected and scattered light overwhelms any thermal emission. But in the thermal infrared, beyond about 3 micrometers wavelength, thermal emission dominates. This is why we use different wavelengths for different purposes: visible for reflectance-based remote sensing, thermal infrared for temperature measurements. These four terms, net outflow, total extinction, total inscattering, and total source, are the building blocks of our energy balance equation. In the next slide, We'll see how they combine to yield the fundamental conservation law for radiation. Slide 9. The doubly integrated result. Slide content. The double integration results in integral underscore del vida, NF, plus integral underscore VD superscript 3 R integral 4 pi d omega sigma, R omega, I, R omega, equals integral underscore VD superscript 3 R integral 4 pi d omega sigma, R omega, I, R omega, plus integral underscore VD superscript 3 R integral 4 pi d omega q, R omega. In words, net flux leaving V plus total extinction flux equals total and scattered flux plus total source flux. Remember that total extinction flux equals total absorption flux plus total outscattered flux. The total outscattered flux is equal to the total and scattered flux at the domain scale because scattering results in neither gain nor loss of energy. It simply changes the direction of photon travel. Thus, total outscattered flux equals total and scattered flux. Therefore, total source flux equals net flux leaving V plus total absorbed. Narration. We've now completed both integration steps, over solid angles and over spatial volume. Let's examine the result carefully because we're about to arrive at our fundamental energy balance equation. The doubly integrated equation states, net flux leaving V plus total extinction flux equals total and scattered flux plus total source flux. This is already starting to look like an energy balance, but we can simplify it further by recognizing the relationship between extinction, absorption, and scattering. The key insight is that extinction has two components. Extinction removes photons from their current direction either by absorbing them or by scattering them into different directions. So we can write, total extinction equals total absorption plus total scattering out of the original directions. Now here's the crucial point. At the scale of the entire volume V, after integrating over all positions and all directions, the total amount of radiation scattered out of various directions must exactly equal the total amount of radiation scattered into various directions. This is because scattering is an elastic process, it conserves energy. When a photon scatters, it doesn't gain or lose energy, it just changes direction. Every photon that gets scattered out of direction omega prime must get scattered into some other direction omega. When we sum over all photons, all positions, and all directions in the entire volume, the total outscattering exactly equals the total inscattering. These two terms are equal and will cancel when they appear on opposite sides of our equation. This is a domain scale or global conservation property. At any individual point in direction, inscattering and outscattering don't balance. Photons can scatter into a direction more than out of it, or vice versa. But when we integrate over everything, the global balance holds. It's analogous to money in a closed economy. At the individual level, some people spend more than they earn and others earn more than they spend. But at the economy-wide level, total spending must equal total income because every dollar spent by one person is income for another. Similarly, every photon scattered out of one direction is scattered into another direction, so the totals balance. When we substitute the decomposition of extinction into our equation and recognize that in scattered equals outscattered, the scattering terms cancel. We're left with a beautiful, simple statement, total source flux equals net flux leaving V plus total absorbed. This makes physical sense. All the radiation generated within V by emission sources must do one of two things, either it escapes through the boundaries of V, contributing to the net outflow, or it gets absorbed somewhere within V, contributing to total absorption. There's no third option because scattering just redistributes radiation without creating or destroying it. This is the essence of energy conservation for radiation. sources create radiative energy. Absorption destroys it by converting it to other forms like heat. And the boundary flux represents energy transfer to the outside world. The sum of absorption and outflow must equal the sources. Energy is conserved. Slide 10, Final Energy Balance Statement. Slide Content. The double integration results in integral underscore VD superscript 3 R integral 4 pi d omega q R omega equals integral underscore del V de NF plus integral underscore VD superscript 3 R integral 4 pi d omega sigma R omega I R omega. In words, total source equals net outflow plus total absorption. This is the fundamental conservation law. All radiation energy generated within volume V, sources, must either escape through the boundary, net outflow, or be absorbed within the volume. Energy is conserved. Narration. We have arrived at our destination, the final energy balance statement for radiation. Let's take a moment to appreciate the beauty and power of this equation. The equation states that the total source term equals the net outflow plus the total absorption. More formally, the volume and angular integral of the source function Q equals the surface integral of the outward flux NF plus the volume and angular integral of the absorption coefficient times intensity. This is a global energy conservation law. It says that every bit of radiative energy generated by sources within V must be accounted for. It either escapes through the boundary, measured by the surface integral of the outward flux, or it gets absorbed within V, measured by the volume integral of absorption. There's perfect accounting. Energy cannot disappear or appear from nowhere. Notice what's not in this equation: scattering. Scattering processes do not appear in the final energy balance because they conserve energy at the global scale. Scattering redistributes radiation spatially and directionally, but it doesn't create or destroy radiative energy. Only sources create it, and only absorption destroys it. Let's interpret each term in the context of remote sensing and Earth observation. The total source term represents all thermal emission within the volume V. For an atmospheric column during the day, this includes thermal emission from water vapor, carbon dioxide, ozone, and other atmospheric constituents, as well as emission from clouds and aerosols. At night, there's no solar source, so thermal emission becomes the dominant radiation source. For a vegetation canopy, the source term includes thermal emission from leaves, stems, and the soil below, especially in the thermal infrared wavelengths. In the visible and near-infrared, emission is negligible compared to scattered sunlight, but the energy balance still applies. We just need to account for solar radiation entering through the boundaries as part of the net flux term. The net outflow term is the radiation flux passing through the boundary of V. This is often what we measure with remote sensing instruments. Satellite radiometers measure the upward flux at the top of the atmosphere. Ground-based radiometers measure the downward flux at the surface or the upward flux from the surface. Ocean color sensors measure the upward flux emerging from the water. The sign of the net outflow depends on the coordinate system and the choice of the normal vector n. If we define N to point outward from V, then positive NF means radiation is leaving, and negative means it's entering. The surface integral sums all contributions, giving us the net outflow, total leaving minus total entering. For Earth's climate system, the net outflow at the top of the atmosphere must balance the net solar input plus any energy storage in the oceans and ice. If there's more radiation coming in than going out, the planet warms. If more goes out than comes in, the planet cools. The current energy imbalance, about 0.7 watts per square meter globally, is driving global warming and sea level rise. The total absorption term represents all the radiation absorbed throughout V and converted to other forms of energy, primarily heat. In the atmosphere, absorption by water vapor, carbon dioxide, and ozone converts radiative energy into thermal energy, warming the air. This radiative heating is a major driver of atmospheric circulation and weather. In vegetation, absorption of visible light by chlorophyll drives photosynthesis, converting radiative energy into chemical energy stored in plant biomass. Absorption of near-infrared and thermal radiation heats the leaves, driving transpiration. The ratio of absorbed photosynthetically active radiation to total absorbed radiation tells us about the efficiency of photosynthesis. In the ocean, absorption heats the water, drives photosynthesis by phytoplankton, and affects the vertical distribution of temperature and organisms. The depth to which light penetrates determines the thickness of the euphotic zone where photosynthesis occurs. The energy balance equation provides a powerful check for numerical models. When we solve the radiative transfer equation computationally, using methods like Monte Carlo, discrete ordinates, or spherical harmonics, we can verify our solution by checking whether this global energy balance is satisfied. If total sources don't equal total absorption plus net outflow, within numerical precision, there's an error in the code. This is called a global conservation check, and it's an essential quality assurance step in scientific computing. It's much easier to detect errors in global integrals than in pointwise values, so the energy balance gives us a robust diagnostic. The energy balance also has deep connections to other conservation laws in physics. It's analogous to charge conservation in electromagnetism, mass conservation in fluid dynamics, and the first law of thermodynamics. All these laws share the same mathematical structure, a local conservation law expressed as a continuity equation, which when integrated over a volume yields a global balance between sources, sinks, and boundary fluxes. Slide 11, Final Energy Balance Statement, Animation. Slide Content. Let us look at the animation again. 01 Energy Balance. Narration. This final slide returns to the animation introduced at the beginning, allowing us to view it with fresh eyes after completing the mathematical derivation. Now that we understand the energy balance equation, we can appreciate what the animation represents at a deeper level. The animation likely shows the various energy flows in and out of a volume, radiation sources emitting within the volume, absorption removing radiation and converting it to heat, scattering redirecting radiation without changing its total energy, and boundary fluxes representing radiation entering and leaving through the surfaces. We can now interpret each element of the animation in terms of our derived equation. The sources correspond to the total source term on the left side. The absorption corresponds to the total absorption term on the right. The net flow through boundaries corresponds to the net outflow term. And the scattering, while visually present, doesn't appear in the final balance because it conserves energy. The animation reinforces the fundamental principle, energy must be conserved. Every photon emitted must either be absorbed somewhere or escape through the boundaries. The mathematics we've developed quantifies this principle precisely, allowing us to calculate energy budgets, validate models, and interpret measurements. In remote sensing applications, understanding this energy balance allows us to work backwards from measurements to infer properties of the medium. If we measure the outward flux at the boundary and know the sources and absorption coefficients, we can infer the internal structure. Conversely, if we know the structure and sources, we can predict what sensors will measure. This bidirectional relationship between forward modeling, predicting measurements from known properties, and inverse modeling, inferring properties from measurements, is the foundation of quantitative remote sensing. The energy balance equation is central to both directions. As we conclude this narration, I encourage you to reflect on the journey we've taken. We started with the differential radiative transfer equation, a local description of how radiation propagates through space. Through systematic integration over angles and volume, and application of fundamental theorems like the divergence theorem, we arrived at a global energy conservation law. This law connects microscopic processes, absorption, emission, scattering at each point, to macroscopic observables, fluxes through boundaries. It bridges theory and measurement, mathematics and physics, the infinitesimal and the global. Conclusion. This completes our detailed slide-by-slide narration of the energy balance material in radiative transfer. We have covered the radiative transfer equation and its physical meaning. Integration over solid angles to obtain flux vectors. Integration over spatial volumes to obtain global quantities. The divergence theorem and its application to radiative transfer. Conservation of scattering energy at the domain scale. The final energy balance, total source equals net outflow plus total absorption. This energy balance equation is fundamental to remote sensing and appears in countless applications. Atmospheric radiative transfer for climate modeling and weather prediction. Vegetation canopy radiative transfer for agricultural and forestry applications. Ocean radiative transfer for ocean color remote sensing and marine biology. Planetary radiative transfer for studying Earth and other planets. And medical optics for imaging and therapy. The mathematical techniques we've used, integration over angles and volumes, application of the divergence theorem, and exploitation of conservation laws, are broadly applicable across physics and engineering. They represent powerful tools for transforming differential equations into integral balances and connecting local processes to global observables. I hope this narration has deepened your understanding of energy balance in radiative transfer and its importance for remote sensing. As you continue your studies and research, you'll encounter this equation in many forms and contexts, but the fundamental principle remains the same: energy is conserved, and our mathematical descriptions must respect this conservation. Thank you for your attention through this detailed exploration. May your understanding of radiative transfer illuminate your work in remote sensing and Earth observation. End of narration.